title of our lesson today is Things Young People Need to Know. However, the lesson is for all people. So regardless of whether you're 13 or 30 or 60 or 90, I won't go any higher than that, the lesson is for all of us. However, I'm going to direct my thoughts mainly to the young people. Most of them are sitting here. I'm going to be looking over here quite a bit, and I'll be making my points on this side of the pulpit as well. Young people, when it comes to sharing information, different people feel differently. When it comes to sharing information, different people feel differently. Now, trust me, I'm not talking about opinion. All of us can have our opinion. I'm talking about sharing truthful information. When it comes to sharing truthful information, or the truth, when it comes to sharing the truth, people see things differently. Now, concerning opinions, someone once said, an opinion is like the nose on your face. Everybody has one. We're not talking about that. We're talking about truth. But when it comes to sharing truth, people see it differently. There's one group of people that really doesn't care what the truth is. They just don't care. They don't care what the truth is not. They just don't care. Not only they don't care what the truth is or not, they don't care if you and I know what the truth is as well. That's one particular group. There is, however, another particular group that feels that, well, they believe what they're told. You know, I forgot to use my little mathematical illustration a moment ago. That first group, if they're told 5 plus 5 equals 31, they don't care. This second group just believes what they're told. If they're told that 5 plus 5 equals 31, okay, that's the truth. If later they're told 5 plus 5 equals 12, then they change and completely forget about the first time. And then there is a group, or actually several groups, that think that they are the exclusive owners of truth. Truth is what they say it is. It doesn't really matter if it's the truth or not. Truth is what they say it is. If they say truth is 5 plus 5 equals 14, then they demand, they expect us to believe that 5 plus 5 equals 14. And there is another group that's very similar. This group believes 5 plus 5 equals 14, and they demand that we accept that. There's another group that says, no, 5 plus 5 is not 14. 5 plus 5 is 94. And so they argue back and forth, which is right? Is it 14? Is it 94? And there's probably 100 or 1,000 groups like that, each of them believing they are the sole owner of truth. And truth is whatever they say is truth. And this is probably a little bit tacky, but they end up in Washington, D.C., wanting to tell people what is truth. They really don't know what the truth is. Now, if you and I are interested in salvation, and I'll guarantee you, we better be interested in salvation, then we need to look at every one of those groups. Well, I guess if that first group just really doesn't care, let's don't worry about them. But let's look at the group that just changes their mind. They're real fickle about eternity or salvation. Or the other groups that say, no, my way is right, all other ways are wrong. No, my way is right. All other ways are wrong. No, my way is right. And on and on and on. If you and I are interested in salvation, and we need to be interested in salvation, then we need to make sure we find which one is telling the truth. Because let me tell you something. Of all of those groups, they might all be wrong. But they can't all be right. And if we're interested in salvation, we need to find the one that says 5 plus 5 equals 10. Because that's the truth. That's what's right. And if we are interested in the truth, we need to go with them. Now, we live in a world of diversity, and I like diversity. I hope all of our young people, I hope all of us have had a chance to maybe go overseas or go someplace we're not familiar with, even here in the United States, and we see different cultures and we hear different accents and we listen to different music. And I love the diversity of food that we have. All of that is well and good. But if we're talking about eternity, and that's what we're talking about today, then we need to make sure that we are cautious about diversity. We need to make sure, because ultimately, no one has the responsibility of what I think, of what I believe, except me. And no one has the privilege to think or feel what I think or feel but me. Now, preachers can encourage, and preachers need to encourage, and parents need to encourage, but ultimately, it's going to be your decision what you think and feel. And you might change your mind about things over the next 40, 50, 80 years, but ultimately, it belongs to you. There are many different religious groups, all teaching a diversity of religious understanding, but they can't all be right. They might all be wrong, but if they're teaching a different doctrine, they can't all be right, especially about eternity. And you know, believe it or not, in my research, I found a religious group that their doctrine is they deny eternity. They're a religious group. They deny an afterlife. They feel that it's good for us to be good, moral, decent people while we're living. But when life is over, it's over. Kind of like Rover, when he dies, he's dead all over. They think it all ends there. Now here's where my introduction takes a major turn. In our culture today, in society today, they demand, they don't ask, they don't persuade, they demand that political correctness be enforced. Therefore, they demand that we see all religions as the same. Regardless of what they teach, that all religions are the same. Therefore, they demand that we believe that all religions are right. Now, if they teach something differently, they can't all be right. They might all be wrong, but they can't all be right. Now, let me say one last thing in my introduction. Then we'll get into the lesson. Trust me, long introduction, short lesson today. Let me say one more thing in my introduction. I have a friend who is an avowed atheist. I really don't believe he is, but that's what he says he is. He is an atheist. We don't visit any anymore, but there for a while we would get together and visit periodically. And really, we would usually talk about something else. We wouldn't talk about atheism or Christianity. We would talk about something else. But finally, I realized that our conversation needs to zero in on the important things. And so I told them this. As an atheist, you are not obligated to convince me that atheism is correct. You're not obligated to do that. You're not obligated to teach me that deity is non-existent, that God does not exist. You're not obligated to do any of that. But as a Christian, I am obligated to try to teach you that there is a God. He has a Son who secured our salvation with his death on the cross and his burial and his resurrection. I am obligated to tell you, I'm a Christian, I'm obligated to tell you that someday that Jesus Christ is coming again. And those who claim there is no God, and those who have no allegiance to God, are going to be eternally separated. And I'm obligated to tell you, trust me, you don't want that to happen. And I have spent, young people, I've spent my entire life trying to teach that message. There is a God. And I want that God to be seen in my life. And I want that God to be seen in your life. I want that God to be seen in all of our lives. I want us to let our light so shine before men that they may see us as a Christian and say, I need to get in on that. They are happy, decent, honest people who have weak suspenders, but they're decent people. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Don't worry about it. They're decent people, and I want to get in on that. That's what Christianity is all about. Now let's get into our lesson. The two passages that were read a moment ago, I'm going to mention those later, but actually the text for our lesson comes from 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. 1 John 5, 19. I'm going to read from the New King James Translation, and I'm going to make comment as I go along. 1 John 5, 19. First of all, John says, we know something. Now, the Greek word that John was given, or the Greek word that John uses here, means absolute. We absolutely know something. This is absolute. There's no fluctuation. We know that we are of God. However, and now I'm paraphrasing, we also realize that the world is under the New King James says, sway, the influence of the devil. We know absolutely we are of God, but we also realize that the whole world is under the sway or the influence of the devil. Jesus was also talking about the world in Matthew 24, 12. He talked about how lawlessness will abound. And I need to give you a little of the context. And the love of many, in the context he's talking about, those, their love for God. The love for God of many has grown cold. And Paul was also writing about the world in 2 Timothy 3, 1 and following. He said, know this. This was one of the scriptures read a moment ago. We need to know this. Perilous times are coming. And people will be lovers of themselves and lovers of money and boasters and proud and arrogant and disobedient and unthankful and unholy and a lot of other terrible things. And then he says they will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now, a lot of times we preachers, our Bible class teachers will stop there. We need to go one more verse. Okay, they will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They, that's the people of the world, have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of godliness. They have a form of religion, but they deny the power of true religion. Now, young people, our world is religious. I bet you never thought you would hear me say that. Our world is religious, but the religion of the world is to deny religion. And the world demands that we do that. To deny God and to deny creation. And to deny the power of prayer, our world demands all of those things. But the world sees all of those things and the diversity of thought as equal. They see all of those things and the diversity of thought as right. And it's politically incorrect if you go to someone, even with love in your heart, and try to correct their mistakes. You go to someone with love in your hearts, and they brand you hateful. Or you're mean-spirited. You're a bigot. And young people, I don't know about you, but it's easy to fall into that trap. It's easy to buy into that philosophy. It's easy to be bullied with that tactic. Because I'm not mean. I don't want anybody to think that I'm mean. I'm not mean-spirited. I'm not hateful. I don't want anyone to think that I'm hateful. I'm not a bigot. I don't want anyone to think that. And if I try to correct someone that's wrong, if you try to correct someone that's wrong, yes, you are hateful. And so you know what it's tempting to do? I got to move my hands. I can't talk with my mouth closed. It's easy if you just shut up. And believe what we believe, but just shut up. Just don't make waves. Let me read another verse. This is John 15, verse 9. Jesus says, if you were of the world, if you just keep your mouth shut, the world is going to love you because they're naturally just going to assume you agree with them. Or you're too frightened not to agree with them. So that's the teaching of the world. Agree or be branded. Now hold that thought, I'll get right back to it. But John says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, those things belong to the world. Those things don't belong to God. Don't love the world. Now back to John 15, 9. Jesus says, if you keep your mouth shut, they're just going to assume you agree with them. But you are not of the world. That's what Jesus said. You're not of the world. I chose you out of the world. And because of that, the world is going to hate you and say evil of you and call you names and try to bully you. And it might be judgment before we get our just recompense. But judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Therefore, if we choose Jesus, if we choose the truth, we're going to be branded as politically incorrect if we speak that truth and if we speak that love for Jesus. And I have already said it's tempting to just keep our mouth shut. And our world is in the situation it is today because we've kept our mouth shut. Let me give you a few verses. I paraphrase just a little bit. John 17, 14. The world hates Christians because we're not of the world, just like Jesus was not of the world. Philippians 2, 14. This is the one that was read a moment ago. We must be God's children in this crooked and perverse generation. We must, as shine as lights in the world, we must hold on tight to God's word of life so that we might rejoice when Jesus comes again. And James says in James 1:27, pure religion, undefiled religion, is to take care of people when they need to be taken care of and keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Now, young people, stay with me a few more minutes. I'm not looking for a silly answer. I'm notorious for silly answers. Not looking for a silly answer. Can you play in the mud without getting muddy? No. Can you play in the rain and not get wet? No. Can you play in the world and not become worldly? No. The world will influence all of us. And we will justify by saying, well, I'm a mature Christian. I'm a preacher. Those foul-mouthed words don't bother me. They don't affect me. But I don't always say that. So evidently, even preachers can be influenced by the word. But young people, here's the bottom line. It's your choice. It's your choice. I can preach 10,000 sermons on the dangers of sin, but it's your choice. Your parents can pray for you and encourage you and warn you and punish you, but it's your choice. It's all your choice. Young people, let me encourage you with these words. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its saltiness, it's not good for anything. But to be cast out and used as road-building material, trodden under the foot of men. And then finally, Jesus said, you're the light of the world. And now I paraphrase, but if we put our light under a bushel, no one's going to see the light. Or if we let the devil it out, no one's going to see the light. But it's your choice. It's your choice. Now, since we're talking about the truth, let me also tell you the truth. Paul says, anyone, regardless of age, who lives godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. If any of us live the Christian life, we will suffer persecution. But it's our choice. It's our choice. Now, aligning ourselves with Christ is also our choice. So really, regardless of whether you're a young person or regardless of whether you're an older person, if you've never given yourself to Christ, and it's more than just saying this little simple prayer, come into my life. It means come into my life, Jesus, and do with me what you want to do. Make me like you. Don't make me lazy. I can do that on my own. Don't make me willful or stubborn. I can do that on my own. Make me like you. Then you need to render obedience to the Lord. You've heard the truth. Not as much in this sermon as in other sermons. You know what's right. You know the Bible is God's word. You know Jesus is his son. Acknowledge that today. Repent of your sins. Be baptized for the remission of sins. Christ will add your name to the Lamb's book of life, and you'll be ready to meet him when he comes again. But it's your choice. If you choose to accept the invitation call, the number is 867. If you will, I'm going to get Lynn to come up and he'll meet you up here if you come. If you need to come, won't you come now as we stand together and sing? To Canaan's land I'm on.